Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A former Iowa governor and U.S. Secretary of Agriculture was in Marion County Sunday for the Marion County Democratic Party's annual fundraiser. Let's go in depth with Governor Tom Vilsack. Well, Governor, why are you in Marion County today?
Well, it's a great opportunity for me to specifically and personally support my candidate for Secretary of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, Tim Gannon. Tim worked for me for 8 years at USDA. I know where his heart is. I know how hard he's worked for this job. And I know that he's going to be a Secretary of Agriculture that's going to be concerned about all of Iowa. He's going to be concerned about rural development and small town economic growth, but he's also going to be concerned about making sure that we have access to decent farmers markets, opportunities for our school districts to be able to purchase local and regionally produced food so our kids have access to nutritious and healthy and locally grown produce and goods. So he's going to be a great Secretary of Agriculture, so I'm here on his behalf. Also want to make sure that these folks in Marion County understand and appreciate how important this election is. We have a governor's race, and on the ballot is not just the names of two individuals and the lieutenant governors, but on the ballot is the future of education, access to quality, decent health care for everyone in the state, and a real support for natural resources and a tax system that reflects the true values of Iowa.
Well, now Republicans would say that that's what they're doing.
Well, the reality is that I don't think there's any question that education has been underfunded in this state. We've always been able to find, in the last 6 years, money for tax cuts, but never enough money for our kids in schools, in the K-12 system. We've seen cuts to our university system, which means that they are forced to raise tuition costs for Iowa students. Our community colleges have not been supported to the extent that they need the support in our private colleges. So across the board, education has been underfunded. I think it's fair to say the privatization of Medicaid has been a disaster. It has not worked. I think the savings are very, very suspect, and I think we know for a fact, unlike the savings, we know for a fact that people have been denied access to decent care and to the kinds of equipment and resources that they need to take care of themselves and to have quality of life. That's not consistent with Iowa values, and I think it's also fair to say that we've not done enough to protect our natural resources. We haven't been as good a friend to our farmers as we need to be in terms of coordinating federal and state resources towards water quality and conservation, land conservation. And I think that Fred Hubbell's got a point about the tax system that basically writes a check to a corporation that produces a handful of jobs, even if they don't pay any tax at all in the state. I think those resources could be better used investing in our children's future and in a decent healthcare system.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Governor Tom Vilsack. When I asked Governor Reynolds about, let's just start with education, she will say that education is the largest part of our budget and that increases in funding are made every year.
Increases in funding are made every year, except that the level of increase has been minimal. When we need 3 or 4 or 5% allowable growth, we essentially get 1%, which doesn't allow school districts to even keep pace with the rate of inflation. It doesn't enable school districts to be able to retain, particularly in rural areas, quality teaching professionals because they are lured away with better paying jobs. It doesn't allow school districts to access additional staff to have advanced placement courses in all parts of the state, not just in urban centers. So it's disingenuous to suggest that with a 1% increase in funding that you somehow have increased funding for education. The question is, have you increased it enough? And I think we can do better, and I think Fred and Rita see this, and I think that one of their commitments will be to make sure that education receives adequate funding. And I think there's no question that the Regents universities would argue the point about more resources because they have continually been forced to cut and increase tuitions, which I know that Regents didn't want to do and don't want to do, and certainly the college students in this state don't need to go deeper in debt if we have a state that adequately supports our Regents universities. Governor Reynolds says we have enough money for the largest tax cut in the history of the state. question is, why wasn't some of that money used to adequately fund education instead of giving tax cuts to folks who already are doing pretty well?
Well, the argument would be that that gives the people that are already doing pretty well, you know, more money to spend and invest, and the economy will grow.
Well, that would be great, except that we've ranked somewhere between 47th and 49th in income growth in the last 3 or 4 years under the Reynolds administration. So if all that money is being invested, where is it being invested, and why isn't it creating better paying jobs? And why aren't we, as was the case in previous Democratic administrations, seeing wage growth and income growth in the top 10 instead of the bottom 10?
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Governor Tom Vilsack. As former Secretary of Agriculture, I have to ask you, and as a former governor too, this is relevant as well. What's happening with the trade policies? I mean, do you understand what President Trump is doing?
Well, I think the president was right in seeking to modernize NAFTA. It was a 24-year-old agreement. Obviously, there were new industries, new ways that needed to be addressed. So I have no question that he was right in approaching a modernization of NAFTA. And I think he is seems to have reached a deal with Mexico, which is good. And I think I'm hopeful, keeping my fingers crossed, that he reaches a deal with Canada. And now that I work for the dairy industry, hoping that that opens up that Canadian market more. The problem was, and so much starting the renegotiation, it was layering on top of the renegotiation retaliatory tariffs on steel and aluminum that then triggered retaliatory tariffs by Mexico and Canada against our agricultural products, which has made it more difficult for us to sell into that market. Hopefully, NAFTA gets resolved, and hopefully at some point in time the steel and aluminum issue gets resolved so those retaliatory tariffs are lifted and we can get to continue to do business in our number one and number two markets. The big issue, I think, with trade and the long-term concern that I have is with China and the policy in China. I don't have any question that the Chinese have issues and that we need to address those issues. The question is why we did it alone. When was the last time the United States went to war or in a conflict by itself? We usually have allies. We usually have partners that go with us. We went into this trade dispute with China alone. We didn't ask the European Union. We didn't ask Japan, who were similarly situated and similarly being treated in the same way by China. We didn't ask them to join us. So what happened was the Chinese then could retaliate against the one area of the economy where we have an advantage over them, which is in agriculture. So now we have terrific damage to the soybean market. We have terrific challenges for the pork industry. We have challenges for the corn growers, for the wheat growers, and for the dairy producers. And the reality is that we're seeing a ratcheting up of these tariffs, which suggests to me that we're not negotiating, we're not trying to get the rest of the world engaged in this, and the result is that this is going to be an ongoing conflict. In the dairy industry alone, we have projected as a result of the trade discussions that are currently going on that if they continue, we're looking at somewhere between $12 and $16 billion of lost revenue over the next 5 years for the dairy industry at a time when dairy farmers are really struggling. You look at the soybean growers, you look at the pork producers, their damages are very significant. The assistance package, which the soybean producers received the bulk of, have now the corn producers, the wheat producers, and the dairy producers concerned about the way in which those resources were allocated. Not enough to satisfy the damages that have already occurred. And more importantly, you're now in a situation where even if you provide assistance for 1 year's worth of damage, once you lose market share, as we may very well lose in terms of soybeans or dairy in China, you don't get it back immediately if things all of a sudden turn around and this gets resolved. You have to buy your way back into that market. That can take years. So the damages can be long-standing and long-going.
It's interesting to me that the impact on the economy hasn't been greater, but then I realized, well, the agricultural sector is only like 3% of the GDP, and so the economy can still be going well, but agriculture can really suffer, and people don't even notice it in Washington, do they?
Well, I you know, to the president's credit, and I don't want to be fair about this, they did know that these tariffs were going to be damaging to the agricultural community, and they came up with this assistance package. The problem is the implementation of the assistance package is now under question by a number of commodity groups who don't think they got treated fairly. I don't know whether they did or didn't, but I know that they're questioning it. But I think there was a recognition that agriculture was going to get hurt. And the reason agriculture gets hurt is because we have a surplus with the rest of the world. We sell a lot more agricultural products to the rest of the world than we buy from the rest of the world. We buy because we want choice and we want avocados 12 months out of the year. The rest of the world buys because they can't grow enough food to feed their people. So it's important, and I think there's a recognition of that. Again, if we had gone to China with Japan, with Europe, and in a collaborative effort and said, hey, you guys got to play by the rules, it would have been harder for the Chinese to retaliate just against the U.S. They wouldn't have had any place to go for their agricultural products. They wouldn't have been able to assess tariffs against the EU and Japan because there'd be no other place where they could get, other than South America, where they could get these agricultural products. So, I just think it's not so much that we should question China, it's the question of how we're doing it. There is beginning to be an impact on the economy. Manufacturing, we're beginning to see some numbers that suggest that there's softening in the manufacturing economy, because that's also part of the economy that's being hit by these tariffs. And the business community, I think, is fairly consistent in saying to the president, no more of this. We got to get down to the table. We got to negotiate with the Chinese. We got to get this thing resolved.
You told the Marion County Democrats that this is the most important election of their lifetime. What's at stake from your perspective?
Well, the future of education in the state, and therefore the future of future generations of Iowa kids, the ability to provide access to decent health care for those who need access to health care, which can be for some life and death a situation, the status of our natural resources upon which we rely in this state for a great part of our economy. If we don't continue to invest in soil conservation, if we don't clean up our water, it's going to create challenges for agriculture and for the people of the state. And the ability of our state to live consistent with its values. So that's on one part, that's what this election is about. And then I think it sets the stage for the conversation that Iowa will start for the rest of the nation as we begin to gear towards the 2020 presidential election. Will we be discussing a very conservative agenda as presidential candidates come through the state, or we'll be discussing a progressive agenda? And I think that's a different conversation, and it's a conversation which obviously is important in terms of the future of the country.
Any last thoughts to share with our listeners today?
Well, I've traveled the world. I've traveled the country. And Christy and I are excited about the fact that we live in a great state. As President Obama recently said in a speech he gave, our challenge is always to look to be better. I'm not satisfied with status quo. I'm not satisfied if things appear to some as being okay. I think we want to continue to figure out a way to be better every single day, every single year, every single administration. And I think it's important that we have leaders who press us, who challenge us to be better, because I know we can be better. And I know it for our kids and their future, we have to be better.
Thanks to Tom Vilsack for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.